Blog Talk Radio. Welcome to the Transformation Cafe, a weekly half hour of light, topical conversation about spirituality, healing, energy, alternative medicine, higher levels of consciousness, and other insights. We're glad you're here. Transformation Cafe, a fun way to nourish your spirit. Now, let's get started and introduce our diners for tonight's show.
We want to wake up everybody to the Transformation Cafe, and we are an international show. It's just so nice to know that we've got everybody scooting up to the table all over the world. It's very, very exciting. And like normal, we've got our regulars who like to come up and greet us tonight. So, Mr. Jamie, how are you tonight?
Well, Mr. Jamie, calling from Seattle, Washington, I'm doing okay.
Doing okay. That's excellent. Mm-hmm. And how is it in lovely Seattle?
It's overcast and a little chill in the air, and it's not like the rest of the U.S., so.
Yeah, we've got some chilly situations going on out there. That's for darn sure. Mm-hmm. Everybody needs to. I think the key word is layer a lot. And we're going to be talking a lot tonight about movement, since we're going into the next pillar of for optimal health with Mr. Ted Pena. And hey, Mr. Ted, how are you tonight?
Hey, I'm wonderful, Robin. How are you doing?
I'm great. Thank you for coming back and joining us again for going through another pillar. And I think movement is one of the number one things we need to be doing when it's so chilly out there, don't you think?
Yeah, that is one of the benefits of movement. Thank you. I got a list
exactly. Didn't plan on that being a segue, but I think it's very appropriate to do that segue. So that's really good.
Hey, no,
just to remind everybody, this is show number 3 out of a few series that we're going to be doing, because we're going to be covering the 7 pillars of health. And if you want to go back to our original show, that was on our show 223, which was an introduction to the 7 pillars and Mr. Ted Pena. And then our last show was 2:30, which we went into the pillar of time. And why don't we talk about time for just a second, just to kind of review a little bit
Absolutely.
About that.
Just for
why
a second,
is it? Yeah, why is it number one, and why is it so important? If it's number one, I guess it should be kind of important, right?
Yes, even though I put these together in no particular order, that's the one that seemed to stand out the most, because you know, with time, we all have a certain amount of time every day. And for that matter, our life, and used wisely, it could be our you know, best friend. But if you don't use it efficiently, it can be your worst enemy in many ways. So we need to, you know, honor that fact that time is part of the picture, and make the very, very best use of it, as you know, best that we can.
Yeah, and you know, as a chiropractor, I'm sure you're really seeing that when it comes to our different levels of choices with our time. You know, how that really can be something that can be an instrument of good or bad change, depending what we've got going on.
Absolutely. I mean, that's one of the first things that we determine with a patient is how long they were suffering with whatever ailment. But then once we have a proper diagnosis, then we're able to determine the amount of time we estimate that it will take for us to help the patient heal. And that's just all things that are, you know, we got to take into account. And, you know, what's funny about time, I had a patient tell me one of the gauges that he has used in the past about determining what, how can I say, how well your doctor, chiropractor should be able to serve you is the ability for your physician to give you an estimate of time, because there are some practitioners out there that will just go about treatment without a real plan, or at least not taking time into account. And I thought that was some wise words that he shared with me, because that's very important. You need to have an estimate. Okay, we've been doing so long. Well, how long is it going to take for our bodies to recuperate? So, yeah, time is definitely a factor, no doubt.
Well, you know, when you put that measurement out there, you know, depending on the person, they're just like, well, I'm going to show him. I'm going to get healed in third the time. You know how that goes.
Absolutely.
When it comes to level of putting something out there for people. And that can be very exciting, too, because, you know, when it comes to having a mean of what that could look like for everybody. So yeah, again, tonight we're going to be talking about the second pillar of health, and that is movement. So I think I can hear people already going out there going, boo, this means exercise. I don't want to do that.
Yeah, so it is a four-letter word. Yeah, for sure.
Exercise, it looks like it's like about seven, but that's okay. When it comes to that level of movement, and that's one thing I really love. If you go back to our first show, we were really kind of went into it a little bit more, and there's so much to talk about when it comes to level of movement. Yeah, it's very, very exciting. So, Jamie, are you a mover and a shaker?
Well, I try to get the blood going in the morning somehow, and I try to. A mover and a shaker.
Yeah. Good for you. You're a mover and a shaker. That's good to know. Yeah, because when I went back and I was listening to the our first show, again, was 223. You were talking about, just doing things that, like we talked about gardening and how that was such a multi-exercise activity, because there's just so many things you do with that, and we've just kind of moved away from that in just the conveniences of what we want to call life nowadays when it comes to, I'm walking to the grocery store instead of going out to the field and being out there for 3 or 4 hours. So I'm just wondering what you want to share about that, Ted.
Well, I think that's a huge part of it, because exercise is a subcategory of movement, and that's why I tend not to use exercise as the only way one can get healthy and strong, because there are so many ways to achieve movement, and exercise or traditional exercise, sure, I mean, that's great, and if that's your calling and that's where you know what you're going to be doing, whether it be going to the gym or exercising around the house, it's super. But that's just one of many ways that you need to keep your body moving and keep it healthy. So like we were talking about on the first show, hey, if going to the gym isn't your, cup of tea, however you enjoy gardening, then get out there and start gardening and continue to do so, because, we live in a society now that we don't rely upon us doing our own agriculture, but, go back 100, 150 years ago, most everyone was busy growing their own food and gardening and agriculture, so there wasn't really a need to get a gym membership. But now things, have changed. I mean, food is so available that we don't necessarily have to grow our own food, so that makes us, a couch potato society. And we have obesity going through the roof. We have diabetes skyrocketing, and things aren't, really looking good. We've got some work to do. So we need to find hobbies, stretches. We need to find activities that we know we could do on a daily basis to keep ourselves moving.
Yeah, I have a question for you, because I know at least a handful of people that are people who have to be commuters. I mean, they're sitting in their car for an hour and a half one way to go to work. Then they're sitting in a cubicle all day long, and then they're coming home. So, what are the recommendations for people that have jobs that are sedentary?
That's a great question, because not only are they sedentary, but they're using up a valuable resource, and it's time with the number one pillar. So they're losing out on both ends. So those that have to commute and have sedentary jobs truly have to schedule time to either before their commute or after their commute, sometimes even breaking their commute up so that they can move and get out and stretch. And everyone says, oh, man, I just don't have the time to. You don't have the time. You can't afford not to do that, because ultimately you will pay. Your body, your body's resilient, and it needs movement. But if you neglect your body for too long, well, then time is no longer your ally, and things just truly start falling apart. And sometimes these diseases, they get so advanced that there comes a point where you need a stronger intervention. So for those people that have to commute, then you need to figure out a way to maybe go to bed earlier, so you go to bed early, so this way you can get up earlier and do some stretches and or do some strengthening at your home, at your work, on your lunch break. I mean, there's so many things you could do. When you get there, you can park the car far away from the building. You can use the stairs. When you're at your desk, make sure every half hour you get up, do a few back bends, do a few stretches. You have to keep moving. And more research shows that when you're sedentary, not only is it bad for your back, but it's bad for your heart. However, if you get up every half hour or so, then it changes that you are less sedentary. And you, even if you just get up for 30 seconds to a minute, it makes all the difference in the world. But when you sit there for long periods of time without getting up, then you're opening up the door for some problems to set in. So time management is huge, and it has to be a priority. It has to be something that you have to want to do, not that you have to do it, because that's actually one of the pillars is making that choice. We'll get to that, I think, later on down the road. But it really has to become a want to as opposed to a have to. So long as it's a have to, then it's going to be not fun, and you end up probably not doing it. But when it becomes that you really want to, then that's when, you know, you can really achieve some great goals.
Yeah, I was looking at some different things before the show, just what's out there for when it comes to levels of movement. And actually, there's quite a bit out there that is like what we're talking about. It's really exciting. So they had elements of flexibility, ones of endurance, strength, and balance. And, you know, just looking at that when it comes to just different things, be it a martial art or yoga or something like that, so many of the different kinds of things that are out there seem to be addressing all those different elements to wellness and to being able to have proper movement for yourself.
Well, there's tons, and I compiled my own little list. Can I share that with you?
Yes, please. That'd be awesome.
Super. Yeah, I have here the benefits of physical movement, and let's start with just the physical benefits. Number one, you have greater ease and increased range of movement. Number two, increased balance. Number three, you have increased strength and flexibility. Number four, improved muscle tone and coordination. Number five, joint resiliency. Hey, as a chiropractor, you know, that's huge. Joint resiliency, for your joints to be able to be healthy and resilient and flexible. Number six, increased cardiovascular conditioning and health. Number seven, enhanced athletic performance. Number eight, stimulation of better circulation. Number nine, prevention of injuries. 10, greater longevity. Number 11, pain relief. 12, relief of back pain and neck pain specifically. 13, respiratory disorders diminish. And 14, reduced stress. And that's just the physical and benefits. Let's continue on as far as motion or movement therapy, exercise, you call it whatever you want, can be used as a meditation practice to, one, quiet your mind, number two, foster knowledge, and number three, increase awareness. So there's and the endless benefits when it comes to just taking that time out with using movement to create, well, exercise and peace with that most important muscle, the one between your ears. Here's some more benefits. When it comes to emotional health, that it will help those with eating disorders. It will help those that are codependent or dependency problems. It's even known, movement is also known to help those people with anxiety attacks. And if you've never had an anxiety attack, you know, be thankful. But for those that have, movement can be a great way to help prevent and, quite frankly, stop anxiety attacks. Just a couple more. Since movement is related to your emotions and feelings, it could also bring about changes in your attitude and emotions. On a biochemical level, you increase your endorphin level. So your increased communication skills, you're able to tolerate others better. We'll talk about that commute. If you're exercising and moving, then, you know, you can better deal with road rage. And ultimately, movement and exercise leads to greater emotional openness and creativity. And that's just the short list. And all of this is this is nothing new. Origin of movement, it has been around since the beginning of human life. It goes beyond our own bodies. though, you know, when we talk about movement with our body, we're thinking of muscles and exercise, but what we forget is what's happening on the cellular level. Everything is moving, and when things do not have interruption, then your body knows exactly what to do. But beyond your own body, our universe is one of movement. That our Earth that we're on is moving constantly, and it's not just spinning, but it's rotating, you know, going around, you know, the sun, and I mean, just the, we could go on and on about, you know, movement beyond the human body, but it's been said, even Socrates said, that the universe is motion and nothing else. So there's a lot to movement. It's not something we should take lightly, or we could just sum it up as, you know, either use it or lose it. You need to be moving.
Yep. That's what I was going to say. Use it or move.
Yeah.
Use it or lose it. Yeah.
Use
yeah, we
or
were.
Lose it.
I had seen a TED talk a couple of days ago that I mentioned to Ted before we got on the air that this guy, he's a musical director. He has had a kind of a double life when it comes to his career, where he's also a scientist. And he's been doing all this research of using harmonics with music. And they've found that depending on the frequency, they found frequencies that will actually destroy cancer cells. So it's very, very interesting to talk about on a cellular level, the level of movement.
Personally, I've been using sound and movement of wavelengths as part of the healing process. We call it ultrasound. And I think most people are familiar with ultrasound or the movement of sound waves when they think of either sonar for a submarine or determining the sex of a baby. But ultrasound is, there's so much more than that. There's healing ultrasound like we use in our office that we're able to dial in the wavelengths that our cells resonate with to bring about health. And this is, again, well-researched, and it's quite frankly nothing new. When you have, when we use ultrasound in the office, that's, working with the cell's wavelengths, you're going to increase the blood flow, you're going to reduce pain, you're going to speed up the healing process. Again, the list is long, but also you can use ultrasound to destroy, different bad cells in the body. Now, the cancer therapy, that's something new that we were just talking about, but they can use sound waves to destroy stones in the, not in the bladder, but in the kidney stones and other foreign bodies. When you get it, again, resonating with whatever that foreign body is, you can destroy it and break it down. And
well, I think it goes into just like along with the music, we can look into, movement with music and getting into dance and just all those different things that the music along with moving the body, it's moving the body in lots of ways. Like you said, even at a cellular level, if you're working with music that really can get you up there moving and all that, the cells are happy too and they're dancing.
Well, you're 100% right. as far as this,
happy cells, dancing cells. There you go.
Well, it is. I mean, you want to be able to be dancing on a cellular level. What you don't want to be is tripping over yourself. And that's ultimately what, you know, cancer is. You know, cells that are replicating out of control. They're not dancing together, that's for sure. But what I was about to say, all types of Western movement therapies have generally, they developed out of the realm of dance. I mean, and again, dance goes as far back as recorded time. And dance is well known to have been used to keep people healthy when they were ocean, you know, crossing the oceans, and they would have to come out and dance, if you will, and just keep everything flowing, because otherwise it's not just the physical problems that arise, it's also the mental disturbances that take place when you're not moving.
Okay. Well, you know, one thing we talked about in another show too, is that when it comes to the importance of knowing about movement, and you talked about how doctors find that if you can't get up, you talked about, if you can't get up, that it's important. Yeah, if they can test how urgent it is for somebody in their health, if they're on the floor and they couldn't get up again, that's really important for people.
There was a study that was done a little over 10 years ago, and it's a test assessing the ability to sit up from the floor that will most of the time predict the mortality risk amongst the elderly. And what they found, if a geriatric patient is not able to get themselves up off of the floor, that it was fairly consistent that they would be dead within 6.5 years from the time that they're not able to get themselves off the floor. So if you're not able to, I mean, there's so many problems that can arise if you cannot get yourself off the floor. Let's say you slip and not even break a hip, but you can't get off the floor. Well, you can't call out for help. Then you're not able to nourish yourself. You're not able to clean yourself. And then one thing will lead to another. And that's, again, a huge reason why you want to, at the very least, practice getting onto the floor and being able to safely get up off the floor. And they have recommendations on how to do that safely. But you don't ever want to let your body get to the point where you can't get yourself up off the floor. Yeah, that's a well-documented study, and it also makes sense. I mean, that's just common sense. If you can't get yourself
makes
up off
a lot
the
of
floor,
sense.
You got bigger problems. And usually it's we neglect our bodies, and then the bodies will atrophy. I mean, for example, your muscles. Have you ever broken a bone, Robin?
No, I'm really lucky I have not.
Thank goodness. Neither have I, but I've seen this where patients will have a broken bone. They'll put a cast on it. Let's say the cast is on for 6-8 weeks. They take the cast off, and let's say if there's a broken arm, you'll see how small the muscle has shrunk down because it will atrophy because of lack of movement. But there's another problem with bones that develop when you don't use them properly or do exercise or movement. They will lose their strength. The bones will become brittle. Osteoporosis will set in, and you're more susceptible to breaking a bone. That's one of the problems with space travel because there's no gravity, where we take it for granted that here we on Earth we have gravity pulling us down, but that's creating resistance to our muscles and resistance to our bones and joints, and that's actually a healthy thing. But without that gravity, then you're going to have trouble with your muscles and trouble with your bones, and that is actually a huge problem that you know, NASA has always had to deal with and are continuing to deal with as they go on to explore with time travel.
You always see all these guys, you know, they've got their treadmills, or they've got the space station design where they can actually have a lap
right.
track or something like that as a part of the stuff they have going on there. So,
but they have to strap themselves down with some resistance. I mean, otherwise, what, they'll float away. But
yeah, tie themselves down or whatever.
Down.
Yeah, it's very. I always think about that when it comes to space. I'm like, I don't think I'd ever want to go to space. I love the planet too much.
Oh no, I
enjoy watching sci-fi.
I agree.
Sci-fi stuff, but yeah, I you'd have to pay me a lot of money to leave. That's for sure.
Well, then
so,
you just
anyway.
Like love that movie that's out right now, Interstellar.
Oh, Interstellar, yeah.
Yeah,
I did see it.
Oh, yeah.
It's a wonderful movie. It really is. But it does make you really appreciate the Earth. That's for sure. When you can see all the different challenges and stuff that they have going on with everything.
The more I want to stay on it, no doubt. But
exactly.
Exactly. Oh yeah, weight resistance. That we need that. Gravity.
One of the things that you're really involved in, you're starting to get involved in, is it's on a Facebook that it's called the Wellness Revolution. I was wondering if you wanted to review that and talk about that. Yeah, we've got about 5 minutes left, so.
Oh yeah, sure. No, the Wellness Revolution was actually the brainchild of Susie Carpenter from our group, and she has had a history of health problems, and she found healing through movement, through exercise, and through nutrition. And she'll tell you it literally saved her life. So we were just chatting about that and how important it is to get a movement going. And I just threw it out there to her that, you know what, we need to have a wellness revolution. And she goes, that's going to be the name of our group. So that is a site that you can go on to Facebook, just type in Wellness Revolution. Susie's done a fantastic job of putting together useful information that everyone can use. Movement is definitely part of it. And she's already practicing the pillars that we've been talking about, and looking for ways to get the word out there, because too many people are suffering and the information is here. And all you got to do is just type in Wellness Revolution and follow it, and you'll see great daily, sometimes multiple tips during the day to live a very healthy life.
That's one thing that I've noticed, you know, I've always been interested in exercise and nutrition and all that, but really when you really dedicate yourself to it on just a simple way, how it really does benefit you. And it's just those small things that you do every day on a weekly, you know, daily basis, weekly basis, that really just really can enhance the quality of your life. And it's those simple choices. Like I said, am I going to get up and exercise? Am I going to have my juicy today? You know, all those different things that really can just help you to be in a place of just wellness. And it's not that hard. It's just those choices that you make all the time.
Well, those choices make all the difference in the world, little by little. But again, mm-hmm. It has to come from your heart. It has to come from your gut. I mean, I'm the biggest cheerleader for my patients to help them get on the right track. But I got to tell you what motivates people, when they get to me, it's because they're suffering. They have pain. And that's where I can use that to show them, okay, there's a reason for this pain, but now let's take ownership of it. And once you take ownership of it, then we can really, you know, set some goals and get some work done. But as much as I cheerlead, Robin, it's those patients that make the choice. And you can see it in their eyes. Once they choose, like, you know, damn the torpedoes, I'm going to get this done, then I just basically get out of the way. And mm-hmm. they'll find everything. They'll find all the resources they need in order to achieve the goals. And they are simple. They're simple. They're available. But again, it has to come from the heart, and that's something that they want to do. Not out of fear, but more of a desire that of how good I'm going to feel when I live this healthy lifestyle. Then Wellness Revolution is great tool to use.
Okay, so I'd really encourage everybody to go to Facebook and check that out, and there'll definitely be links between the Wellness Revolution and then Ted Pena's practice that he has going on. So, yeah, pain is a great motivator, that's for sure. you're going to definitely do something when you're in pain. You know how that goes.
Yeah, there's only so much ignoring that you can do. And, you know, people sadly will drug themselves up and go to some extreme lengths to cover up the pain. I mean, no, who likes to suffer? I don't know one likes that. But if you're masking the symptoms, then you're just going to have to deal with the problem all over again until you find out the cause. Find out the cause, now you know, then you got yourself a game plan.
So, you know, here we've talked about the pillar of movement. What's the one thing you want people to walk away with from the show?
Moving on a daily basis and making it part of your life. And for your children, we have a generation. That's a whole nother show. We have a generation of children coming up that don't know what it's like to play outside, that they're in front of the TV, they're in front of their computers, they have their handheld devices, and we really have to look out after them. And show them ways to stay active. And technology is not going anywhere, but we have to create some balance. And a part of that balance is moving on a regular basis every day.
Well, we've got these new technologies out there. There are wristbands and all the different stuff that's actually being able to keep us all the stats and stuff to keep an eye on our stats every day. We were talking about that today a little bit earlier in our network meeting that we had together.
Right.
You know, these different new devices that you'll keep track of every single step you've got and go to your app and you can figure out how much you've been moving all day. So those are good things. How can people get a hold of comments that they'd like to address to you, Ted.
I'm sorry, Robin. You broke up. I did not hear.
Oh, okay. I was going to say, how can people get a hold of you if there's any questions or comments they'd like to address to you?
Oh, forgive me. Real simple. It's drpena.com, drpena.com. Certainly, they can call me at my office at 951-276-2838. But just going to the website, drpena.com, it's about as easy as it gets.
That's it. Dr. Payne, be gone. So we thank you so much for coming and joining us again. Yeah, we'll be back next month with our next pillar. And we want to thank you and Jamie for joining us tonight. And as always, we thank you for joining us here at the Transformation Cafe.
Thank you.
We hope you enjoyed listening to the Transformation Cafe podcast. To learn more, visit transformation-cafe.com for show notes, guest information, and links to previous shows. You can also subscribe to the Transformation Cafe podcast on iTunes. Join us again next time at the Transformation Cafe, a fun place to nourish your soul.